you're standing and cry because you felt the pain. But you do whatever the spirit is telling you to do. Don't we miss out on so much saying, well, I don't think I should do that, or I don't want to do that. It's not about what you want to do these days. It's about what the spirit of God is telling us to do. Amen. Especially when you're going through too. You know, that's the hardest thing. Well, it's not hard for me because God done taught me how to love, how to be there for people even when I need somebody to be here for me. God have strengthened me in that time. And I thank God because people don't recognize that you need certain things. They figure like Sister Kevin say, oh, we got it together. No, I don't have it together. It's things that I fight with all the time. But the thing about it, I don't let it get the best of me. See, we can fight with it, but we don't have to let it get us down. And it's also, if you not have a sober disposition, an attitude, when the thing come about or whatever catch you off guard, the first thing that we ought to do or we need to do is to ask God for help. Amen. Don't take it in our own hands and say, I'm going to handle this. Just ask God. And see, that's what number three come in. It says, it comes in that is to set your hope on God's grace, on His grace. That same grace that woke us up this morning, that same grace that started us on our way, that grace to be given us is fully in Jesus Christ when He comes. And so here Peter's main emphasis is on putting our hope completely in that final demonstration of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Because at this moment, we enjoy only the beginning of grace and what we have already experienced, Sister Tina, up to this point in our lives. But that which is coming cannot compare to the grace that comes with Jesus Christ. So that's why we can't give up. That's why we can't get upset. That's why we can't stop. Even when you feel like stopping and giving up, you got to remember that God done kept you all these years. Not for you to throw in the towel. Not for you to say, I'm just not doing that no more. I'm staying the course. I don't know about nobody else. I don't know about my children. I'm staying the course because I know it's going to be better. Gonna be better. That's gonna be ours. Those who stand the course. Those that be talked about, criticized, persecuted, stay the course. It's worth it in the end. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why we must have the long view in mind. Or else that short run, it's gonna kill us. That's why also we have to keep looking forward to that final salvation, which we will fully experience Jesus Christ. We think we really experiencing Him now. We ain't seen nothing yet. I know it's good to experience what we are experiencing, but just think about it. When He come, that's going to be a different experience. And ain't no Jack, Jim, Max, Sue, or anybody else going to cause me to stumble in these last days. Amen? Because when He turned, you have been saved. That's God. And I say, Lord, have mercy. This sent me something else. But we got the same DNA. When He returned, you have been saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. Hallelujah. So don't get off course. Because our future hope is not just in a theological doctrine with little or no practical application. But it is, in fact, on an ethical side. In other words, your behavior got consequences that they're going to have to go through. We think that we can do any and everything and not have no consequences. God said He's going to forgive us, but He never said we wasn't going to have those consequences. Amen? So that's why we have to be careful how we treat people, how we love somebody, how we help somebody. We got to be careful because we may be entertaining Jesus. Hallelujah. So if we really believe in the second coming of Christ. This belief must make a difference in the way we live. But we got to really believe it. Amen. So here it is in verses 14 through 16 of 1 Peter. Says these verses focus on an obedient mind. I like this one. Obedient. 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 I like that. Because as Christians, we don't want to be obedient. We really don't. But see, that's where that holy life comes in. You be obedient even if you don't want to be obedient. Right, Sister Mary? You just do it. Don't ask no questions. We're so busy trying to figure it out. I'm going to let you know you'll never figure out God until he decides to show it up for us. Amen? That is obedient mind. That means the children of obedience should not indulge in the sins which characterize them in the former life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 speaks of them as the children of wrath. Now Peter is saying now that we Christians now, and as Christians we should pattern our lives after the one whose name we bear. And to remember that obedience does not produce a believer in Jesus Christ, but true belief will always produce in a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Obedience. In other words, you obey if you're a true believer. Amen. Now, number four is do not conform to evil desires. Because part of disobedience is our non-conformity to evil desires. Now the word conform means to be fashioned into something. It describes the practice of adopting for oneself a pattern or a mold of life that is changeable and unstable. In other words, it can be changed. Amen. So here, the preparation that Peter was talking about in verse 13 of 1 Peter, it says, prepare your mind, be sober, and set your hope in God's grace will help you not to conform to evil desires. See how he said that? He put it right there. No, those three things, if you do that, you won't conform yourself after the lust of the world. It won't even excite you. But you got to prepare your mind. You got to make wise decisions. And then keep that hope in Jesus Christ. But the emphasis also in verse 14 is to help us see that the conformity does not begin. It does not begin with your outer action. We want to impress everybody with how we act, what we say, what we do, how we sing, how we pray. That's outer. But the insides was coming out. And sometimes we just don't see the inside. We see the out, but not the in. But if you're a child of God, you want the inside to make a difference in your life. You want it to shine. So like Pastor somebody said, that the people on the outside that don't know Jesus, they will see the light in you and come asking, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Amen. So Peter is here referring to a conformity of thought and purpose. And that is, conformity is a lack of obedience that adopts the attitude, the mindset, and purpose are because of the environment that we surround ourselves with. When you see, I know we have to be the light, but if you know you weak in certain areas, don't go around those that are doing what you like doing, because you're going to get caught up in that. Amen? Also, conformity belongs to the time of ignorance. See, we didn't know no better at one time. And so we didn't know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so we live like the world. But we ain't got no excuse now. And Jesus, God said, I used to wink at what you did and do the Roman. He said, but now you know better. And I'm not winking no more. Hallelujah. And some of the attitude that we take in this culture nowadays is that I don't want no problems. I don't deserve what I'm going through. I don't want difficulties. I don't want the trauma. Anything. Why not? That's the question. Why not? Why not me? Amen. But as believers, we are to be conformed to the example of Christ, the suffering servant. He suffered, so we think we can't suffer either? Hallelujah. But God's requirement in us is a total change of purpose. We have to change. Amen. Our outward life will change only if it is in the inside. If the change does not start in the inside, we just doing whatever. Amen. And number five, which is to be holy. So the alternate to conformity is holiness. So instead of imitating the unworldly, godly word and its fast and its fashion and what we like and what we don't like and how that's beautiful and all of that, we should be as being holy. As Christian, our lives should reproduce the holy characteristic of Jesus Christ, the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the one who called us while we were yet sinners, the one who called us to be his own. So to be godly means to be godlike. Hallelujah. God is holy in all his ways, not some of them. In all of his ways. And if we are to be holy in all our ways, in what we do and what we say, make a difference.
Thank you for listening today to Joyful with Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Prophetess Herman has a new book called The Holy Spirit Last Sayings to This Millennial Age, The End of the Beginning. This book, along with other books written by Prophetess Herman, can be purchased at thebookpatch.com or at amazon.com. Prophetess Herman can be reached at 318-955-7054. After all, we still have joy.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Carely's Sitting Services is an in-home, non-medical care provider agency serving Central Louisiana. Carely's provides VA services and waiver services such as Children's Choice, Community Choice, EPSDT PCS, LT PCS, NOW SIL, and private duty services. Kelly's is seeking attendants who have a love for people and who want to assist others to remain in the community for as long as possible. Kelly's can be reached at 318-792-8453 for your in-home care needs. Kelly's Sitting Services Incorporated is a proud sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM.
Thank you for listening today to Joyful with Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Prophetess Herman has a new book called The Holy Spirit Last Sayings to This Millennial Age, The End of the Beginning. This book, along with other books written by Prophetess Herman, can be purchased at thebookpatch.com or at amazon.com. Prophetess Herman can be reached at 318-955-7054. After all, we still have joy.